This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from the Journal of Neuro-Oncology, published in 2026, titled Extent of Resection and Survival in IDH Wild-Type Glioblastoma, Interaction with MGMT Status and Chemoradiation.
This is a timely topic, Ilara. We've known for a long time that extent of resection, or EOR, is a cornerstone of glioblastoma management. But as our molecular understanding has evolved, specifically since the 2021 WHO classification, which now defines glioblastoma as an IDH wild-type diffuse glioma, we've had to reevaluate our traditional prognostic factors within these more precise molecular bins.
Exactly. The study, led by Noah B. Drews and colleagues from Southern Illinois University and Northwestern, addresses a very specific clinical uncertainty. Does the benefit of a gross total resection, or GTR, persist even in patients who have the favorable biology? We're talking about patients with MGMT promoter methylation who are also receiving the full STUP protocol of postoperative radiation and temozolomide.
It's a great question. There has been some debate in the literature about whether a favorable response to chemoradiation might attenuate or wash out the survival difference associated with how much tumor we take out. Essentially, if the chemo is going to work well, does it matter if we leave a little bit of enhancing disease behind?
That's the crux of it. To answer this, the authors conducted a retrospective review of 261 patients at a single institution from 2010 to 2024. They were very strict with their inclusion criteria. They only looked at newly diagnosed IDH wild-type glioblastoma. They excluded infratentorial or spinal tumors, non-enhancing disease, and multifocal cases to keep the cohort as clean as possible.
And they used a multivariable Cox model to look at overall survival, right? What were the key variables they adjusted for?
They adjusted for the heavy hitters: age, baseline Karnofsky performance status, KPS, tumor location, and they even used the five-item modified frailty index, or MFI-5. The EOR was dichotomized into GTR versus less than GTR, which they abbreviated as less than GTR.
Let's get into the results. What did they find regarding that interaction they mentioned in the title?
This is the most significant part of the paper. They found that GTR was associated with longer overall survival across the entire cohort, but more importantly, it held true within all four MGMT and chemoradiation strata. Even in those MGMT methylated patients receiving chemoradiation, GTR made a massive difference.
Give me the numbers for that specific group, the methylated patients on chemoradiation. That's the group we often wonder about.
In that subgroup, the median overall survival was 17.02 months for those who received a GTR, compared to only 10.65 months for those with less than GTR. That's a nearly 7-month difference. The log rank p-value was 0.001. When they ran the model-derived adjusted hazard ratio for less than GTR versus GTR, it was 2.12.
So having a subtotal resection essentially more than doubled the risk of death, even if the patient had methylated MGMT and got their TMZ and radiation. That's a powerful argument for a maximal safe resection.
It really is. And the researchers took it a step further with something called a three-way interaction test, looking at EOR by MGMT by chemoradiation. They found that the interaction was not significant, with a likelihood ratio p-value of 0.309.
Now, for our residents listening, let's pause on that. In statistics, a non-significant interaction here actually means something very clinical. It suggests that the survival benefit of GTR is consistent. It doesn't significantly change or disappear just because a patient has MGMT methylation or receives chemoradiation. The benefit of surgery is additive to the benefit of the adjuvant therapy. It isn't replaced by it.
Right. And they even performed a 6-week sensitivity analysis. In that analysis, all survival associations remained, although the specific EOR times chemoradiation interaction was not significant there either. It reinforces the idea that the residual enhancing tumor burden, as they phrased it, remains prognostically important regardless of the molecular subtype.
It's interesting that they mention residual enhancing tumor specifically. The paper notes that recent work has shifted toward looking at both contrast-enhancing and non-contrast-enhancing tumor as clinically relevant measures. But in this study, the classic GTR versus less than GTR definition still proved to be a robust predictor.
They did acknowledge the limitations of a single-center study, though. With 261 patients, once you start breaking them down into four subgroups like methylated with chemo, methylated without chemo, unmethylated with chemo, etc., the sample sizes in those subgroups get smaller.
True, but as the authors pointed out, single-center cohorts have an advantage over large national registries. In a single center, you have much more reliable data on preoperative functional status and detailed imaging-based tumor locations. Registries often suffer from heterogeneous definitions and misclassification of what actually constitutes a GTR.
I also noticed they were very honest about the potential for bias. They specifically mentioned treatment selection bias and immortal time bias.
Those are critical points for any surgical study. Treatment selection bias means that the patients who could get a GTR might have had more favorable tumors to begin with. Perhaps they were in less eloquent areas or had smaller volumes. And immortal time bias refers to the fact that patients have to survive long enough to actually start and complete chemoradiation. If they die early, they end up in the no chemoradiation group, which can skew the data.
Despite those caveats, the conclusion of the paper is quite firm. They state that their findings are consistent with maximal safe resection when feasible. It supports the neurosurgical dogma that we shouldn't rely on favorable biology to do the work for us.
It's a both-and situation, not an either-or. You want the GTR and the MGMT methylation and the chemoradiation. If you miss one of those pillars, the survival takes a hit. I think for the residents listening, the takeaway here is that even when you see that MGMT methylated status on the pathology report, you shouldn't look back at a subtotal resection and think, well, the chemo will cover for me. The data here suggests it won't, at least not entirely.
And for the practicing neurosurgeons, it's a reminder that the uncertainty we feel when weighing surgical risk against benefit in these patients should perhaps lean more toward resection. The paper explicitly mentions that the survival benefit of a greater resection must be weighed against the risk of postoperative deficits, but the prognostic weight of GTR is heavy.
Was there anything else in the demographic data that stood out to you?
They used age and KPS, which we expect, but I thought the inclusion of the MFI-5 frailty index was a modern touch. It shows they were trying to account for the overall physiological age of the patient, not just their chronological age.
Definitely. Glioblastoma is a disease of the whole patient, not just the brain.
So, to summarize for our listeners, in this 2026 study of 261 IDH wild-type glioblastoma patients, GTR was associated with a significant survival advantage across all subgroups. In the MGMT methylated group receiving chemoradiation, GTR resulted in a median survival of 17 months versus about 10.5 months for subtotal resections.
A 2.12 hazard ratio. That's the number I'm going to remember from this. If you don't get a GTR, the hazard of death is twice as high, regardless of the molecular favorability.
It's a powerful study that reinforces the value of our work in the OR, even in the era of advanced molecular oncology.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. A big thank you to Noah Drews and the team at Southern Illinois University for this contribution to the Journal of Neuro-Oncology.
We hope this helps you in your next tumor board or in the operating room.
I'm Dr. Aris.
And I'm Dr. Alara.
This is the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. We'll see you in the next episode.